welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. Joe Rex Road with his adult-size headphones on this morning. It's good stuff.
Yeah, that sounded really weird. Wow, everything sounds weird with these. They're like my old Walkman headphones, but both ears work.
That's good.
Got that going.
Step one. Hey, a little throwback to the Walkman. Good stuff.
You didn't have a Walkman, right?
No.
I'm not even going to ask you.
I know what it is, but no, I did not have
You
a
know
Walkman.
What it is. You don't know what
it is. I don't know what it is. I'm assuming a brand of little headphones or something.
So the Walkman was, you know, it was a thing. It was a square thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, back then, that had been the transition from albums to cassette tapes.
Yeah.
So you put your little cassette tape in there, and you get your little,
it's like the first ever iPod.
If you were a kid in the 80s, you had a Walkman. Yes.
Only if you were cool and a break dancer like Joe.
Yeah,
that's right.
No, you didn't have to be the cool, super cool break dancer that I was to have a Walkman. it was pretty widespread.
My go-to was the portable CD player. You just put it the portable CD player, and I could hold it and walk around the neighborhood with the headphones in.
Right.
So it was basically a Walkman, just a little bit further in time.
Yeah, yeah. And then you could also, you could plug in your car.
Yeah, oh yeah.
If you didn't have a CD player in your car and listen to the CD.
I had this little hip clip that was like before the iPods, you could have these little, and I would listen to Destiny's Child. You could put them in with the little earbuds. But it was only like you could have like three little things on a little keychain and put them in. So it was like
Destiny's
three songs
Child.
On repeat.
That's awesome.
So it just had one song on it.
No, it was like three. Like you could switch it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a full iPod or something, but it was more of like a little hip clip.
Yeah. Hip clip. Huh. Okay.
Bring them back.
Okay.
What used to be cool is cool again.
We won't even get into 8-tracks.
The mullet has come back. Let's bring all these different things back.
Yeah. White jeans are coming back.
Yeah. Everything goes in cycles.
I've been made fun of many times in my life by my wife for wearing white jeans. In college, which
I've worn white jeans.
I have no problem with white jeans. I've always liked them, and now I guess they're back. So now I maybe
you're hip,
yeah, hip again. But bell bottoms have not really come back. But actually, they kind of
they're making a comeback.
No,
man.
They're kind of coming back.
They're
the
coming
flare
back.
Jean, the wide leg jeans coming back.
Yeah, but it's not like the same. You know, if you go look at pictures from the 70s of like those just bell bottoms. They were incredible, man. The 70s were just that nothing will ever touch that for weirdness, you know?
It is kind of amazing how things sometimes come back around. Like, this mullet thing is hilarious to me. It's like we're in 1986 again, just walking around with mullets everywhere.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Perm mullets. Yeah.
It used to be like a hockey thing. Like, there have been some people in the NHL that have had mullets for a while, but now it's everywhere, especially up in good old Robertson County where I'm walking around, the high school kids. Mullets galore.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it seems to be a baseball thing.
Yeah.
Heavily a baseball thing, but yeah, no doubt.
Just waiting for those rat tails to come back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Really get it done.
Now I'm allowed to have one. Maybe I'll.
Katie would not allow you to have one, Joe. Let's be real.
Yeah, that's true. You have a rat tail extension.
Just right.
Tape it on the back of my head when she's not around.
Yeah. Big win for the Vols last night. 78-71, the final at home against Florida. A little bit spicy after the game between the Vols and the Gators. The post-game handshake line, almost some fisticuffs that broke out, and teams had to be separated, and then basically Tennessee's entire team and fan base was giving them the little sarcastic Gator chomp walking off the floor. It was a little spicy out there on the floor last night. Good stuff.
Yeah. Did Danny White and Mike White getting a little brotherly spat, too.
A little bare-knuckle boxing after the game, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. But apparently, according to Mike Wilson, one of the Florida players made a joke about Zakai Ziegler's height. And so then something happened. It's an interesting choice to make. First of all, I wouldn't mess with that guy. He's tough. He's like 5'7", but, New York, man. New York tough.
Also, and, you just lost to him.
Exactly.
So what are you joking about?
Just took the L, like scoreboard, you know? That's all. So that's two straight games. You know, big wins at home, although the Vols didn't play well for a lot of last night, but involving extra stuff. Before the LSU game, there was stuff that happened. There was some LSU staffer who like threw a ball into the crowd or something. So that broke out into a little mini scuffle, and then this afterwards. So
it's fight night at Thompson Bowling Arena.
Bad boy Vols.
Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, good comeback for them for sure. It was they were getting beat pretty soundly in the first half. They went 5 minutes without like getting a shot or something. It was unbelievable.
I just pictured Rick Barnes in that situation. Like if a brawl breaks out, what does Rick Barnes do? Just him in the middle of it, just breaking.
Just
people
starts
up.
Throwing haymakers, man. just landing, you know. Get his brass knuckles out.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt last night, ugh, terrible loss.
Good gracious.
I mean, you know, because it's a game they should have won. They're up 11, and I don't know that I've seen that many. I haven't looked at the final numbers. I don't know that I've seen that many bad turnovers in that short a period of time as I saw in that game from Vanderbilt. That was bad. That, you know, that's they could have swept South Carolina, and they could be 4-3 right now. Like 12, would they be 12-7? Not bad. Got swept by South Carolina, who not a good team. And so here we go, 10-9, 2-5, not great. And then again, you play well enough to be up 11 on the road, and then just to give the ball like that was very disappointing.
Not good. Those are the type of games that, going back to the Jerry Stackhouse conversations we've had, probably need to win those type of games to avoid future conversations like that, just in my mind.
Yeah, well, yeah, because, again, if you're, you know, if you're 4-3 right now, it just looks so different. And you look at the rest of the schedule for them, you know, there's not a ton of opportunities. I mean, you know, they won at Arkansas, so, I mean, they can play well, but you gotta take advantage of these opportunities. And, again, like, you're in position. Let me look at these numbers. Yeah, I mean, like, Pippen has 24, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, but also 7 turnovers.
Yep.
They had 16 as a team. They must have had 12 or 13 of those 16 in the second half, so... Pretty, but Frank Martin, man. Have you seen Frank Martin lately?
Yeah.
He went the full Robbie Stanley.
He did. He looks good. That's a good-looking dude out there.
I mean, but still scary as hell.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that guy still
I enjoy Frank Martin press dude. Conferences very much.
Oh, absolutely. But, like, I think of all people in sports, yeah, probably, even more than, like, a, you know, like I'm trying to think, who's intimidating in sports? Vrabel?
Yeah.
Whoever you want to call, that would be the guy I would least want to piss off.
Yeah,
is Frank Martin.
I think it's just his voice, the way he talks,
the temper is. Yeah,
it could be a little destructive out there. Some big ones coming up this weekend in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Tennessee taking on Texas, Kentucky, Kansas. That's a big one.
Ooh,
Shell's already nervous.
I'm nervous already, guys.
It's gonna be a good one. The Rick Barnes reunion tour in Texas. He kind of downplayed that last night. Says. You know, I'm 7 years removed. I'm a Tennessee Volunteer. That got Vol Twitter fired up. Vol Twitter's very, very
so they're
swinging back
Barnes.
And forth on Rick Barnes.
They're happy with Rick Barnes.
They're
now?
Swinging back and forth.
Okay, that's you want to say something like that after a win, but yeah, he's going to downplay it all along. I mean, it does feel like forever ago that he was there. He was there for a long time. Really did a good job. Just again, it's so many good teams, so many great players. One Final Four run.
Yeah. We'll see if Tennessee can figure – they still, to me, seem a little bit off. Like you mentioned last night, they just didn't play well for a lot of that game. You end up winning the game, but I still think there's another level the team can get to that they're just not really getting to right now, and we'll see if that changes.
Well, it's like you had this sort of uprising with Plavsic, which is great, and then last night he just gives you nothing, and he barely plays. Now, Fulkerson – comes in and plays well late, so that's good. Kamwa's kind of, like their bigs are just sort of Huntley Hatfield. Everybody wants him to play. He's the five-star freshman, but he's not doing much out there. But the guards, I mean, Chandler has 17-5. Vescovy's been excellent all year. 23 points, 4 assists. He's been terrific, if they can get Josiah James. Josiah James played 38 minutes, by far more than anybody else. He's their best defensive player. He does everything well. 1-for-5 from three. It's just like if you can just
shoot.
Yeah. I mean, he has 9 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. He's invaluable to this team. But if you can get some kind of offensive role for him that fits, or just get him hitting shots, that right there makes them a better team. Ziegler, though, Ziegler is just – 11 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He hits 3 of 5 from 3. He can shoot. Yep. If he starts hitting the shots, I mean, he's going to be on the floor winning time every night. It's such a great find for them. I mean, you should like him. Like, you should like this team for him alone if you're a Vols fan.
Breaking news on the NFL front. The Broncos look like they're finalizing a deal with Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett to make him their new head coach. Tom Pelissero, the first one I saw on this, but now, you know, the Rappaports and the Schefters and everybody coming out with it. So it looks like Nathaniel Hackett going to be the head guy in Denver. He was scheduled to have another interview with the Jags today as well. So I don't know what in the world's going on with Jacksonville. Apparently, according to Schefter, they're still considering Matt Eberflus and Byron Leftwich as well. So I don't know what's going on in Jacksonville, but Nathaniel Hackett, apparently the guy in Denver.
I don't
wonder why they hired him.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
he's a good coach.
Because he did a good job as a coach. What ulterior motive could they possibly have there?
He's a good coach.
Does this mean that A-Rodge is going to want to go there?
I mean, I don't know. Could be. We'll see. I mean,
apparently he's coming to the Titans.
Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit later for sure. Yeah, there's at least one idea thrown out there this morning that the Titans are the best fit for Aaron Rodgers.
From someone who's never wrong.
Yeah, from someone who's never wrong and big fan of Ryan Tannehill as well.
Yeah.
Always has been. So we'll get into that coming up a little bit later here in the show. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll take our first look ahead at conference championship weekend in the NFL. What do we make of the matchups in the conference title games? We'll get to that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, yeah, Ditka gave up every pick in the draft to move up to get Ricky Williams. So maybe that's what the Titans should do, just hand your entire draft to the Packers, throw in Tannehill and Julio Jones, like the texter said, and be good to go.
Back in the good old days when it was all about the running back.
That's right. You imagine somebody doing that now? Number one, just throwing all your picks at anybody for anyone.
Yeah.
But Ricky Williams,
right?
The running back.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's probably going to be no first-round running backs this year.
Yeah. Hey, Ricky Williams is a good player. But
he was.
Yeah. I don't know if he's quite worth that.
Yeah. That was, yeah. Well, was it yesterday? Someone brought up the Herschel Walker trade.
Yeah.
And there's a, boy, it created a dynasty in Dallas.
It did.
It's the good old days, Jerry.
So we talked about how Keyshawn Johnson feels like the best fit for Rodgers if he wants to win a Super Bowl outside of Green Bay would be the Titans. Matt Schneidman, who covers the Packers for The Athletic, put out a mailbag yesterday, and one of the listeners, or I guess the readers, asked him, if you were Rodgers and could pick your destination among those with draft capital and cap space, where would you go? And Snyben's immediate response was the Indianapolis Colts. Picking an NFC team would be unrealistic because the Packers wouldn't trade him within the conference. And the AFC West and AFC North are too deep, which rules out the Broncos, Raiders, because of Mahomes and Herbert and all those guys, Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson in the North. So the Colts could be a sneaky player in here. And, you know, we've talked about the Jim Irsay, like, cryptic things going on. He's up at 1223 tweeting about offense and defense, and you got to have an offense that scores 30 points or more in today's NFL. And, you know, of course, Colts Twitter is taking that as the owner is just sitting up late at night taking shots at Carson Wentz, and he's got some master plan to bring in Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. It's interesting. Like, can you imagine the reaction from Titans fans if Tannehill's your quarterback next year and Indy goes out and get Rodgers? That would be quite the day here in Nashville.
I feel like we wouldn't have to wait for Indy Ben to weigh in on anything.
We would not.
I don't think we'd have to be like, Indy Ben, where are you? And listen, that is the thing with the Colts. And I think where Chris Ballard, you know, deserves some credit. He's gotten a ton of credit in recent years.
He has.
Maybe a little bit too much, but I mean, they haven't spent a lot of money. They are way under the cap. They've been way under the cap and still are fielding a good team. And, of course, that does put you in a better spot when you get to situations like this. You know, the Titans right now are project to be, you know, with no moves, about $6 million over. And, of course, that's, again, with doing nothing, that's why they got a bunch of tough choices ahead. You know, the Colts, again, there's still, like, the question of, okay, what exactly would it take? But, like, they're in a better position. And, yes, that would be well, I mean, you could, like, the argument Schneidman makes for the Colts, you could make a lot of the same argument for the Titans in terms of, you know, it's the same division. You know, he's like, yeah, you get to play four games against the Texans and Jaguars, kind of like the Lions and Bears. You know, same thing if you're here.
Yeah.
But that's the difference is the cap space.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, why would you go through all that and give all that up for Rodgers when he's talking about retiring? You could give up 6 first-round picks, and the next year he retires. It'd be stupid to give up the house for him. I mean, I would assume, like, if he wants to keep playing, a contract extension is going to come along with that, would be my guess. Yeah, like, I don't see him going to, like, I don't know, Denver this year and playing 1 year and just being like, all right, I'm done. Like, I feel like if he's going to play one more year and he knows that, then it's probably just going to be in Green Bay. Like, I don't see him saying, you know what, I'm going to Denver, I'm going to play for 1 year, and then I'll be done.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, he's, so what is he, 38?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so you're probably, in, you know, realistically, now, I mean, the same point may stand, but you're probably talking about 2 years at least, right?
Yeah.
Like a 2-year commitment. I mean, that's kind of, well, you know, it's like with Brady. I mean, it's,
well, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, let's ask. I know Tampa Bay didn't have to give up anything in order to get him because Brady was a free agent. But let's just say that this was a trade scenario with Brady, and Tampa Bay gave up all these draft picks. You think they would have been worth it after winning the Super Bowl last year? Like, I'm not saying Rodgers is going to go to Denver or Indy or whoever and win the Super Bowl, but if you feel like you're in a go for it mode with him, sometimes it's just that's the price you got to pay.
That's what it is. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, are you willing to truly, that is truly going for it. That is mortgaging the future. Are you willing to do that and know that, like, it's going to cost you dearly down the road for a shot to win it right now? I mean, I think a lot of, I mean, again, I can't imagine a fan base. I mean, how many fan bases? And some people look at it like this, like, no, I'd rather just be like, you know, 11-6 every year and be solid and just keep a solid team. And, you know, maybe one of those years you rise up. I mean, I don't know. To me, I know, like for me as a fan of a team, I would rather the team go for it. Because that is the whole idea here, is to figure out one way or the other, figure out a way to go win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Liam on the text line says, how many extra picks do we have to send to the Packers to take Todd Downing as well? Well, I mean, if Hackett gets hired by the Broncos, they did lose their OC. Hey, worth a shot maybe.
I mean, the head coach is
excuse me, Mr.
The
LaFleur.
The head coach is a Vrabel former assistant. So, you know.
Todd, we're going to send you to the Packers.
Yeah.
You're going to be the offensive coordinator. You're no longer calling plays, but
seen some coach trades before.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't recall any sort of coordinator trades. Ever been a coordinator trade?
Well, where's a better time than now to make some history? By the way, the Todd Downing stuff, it continues to just get amplified on Twitter. Like, are all these videos coming out? Did you see the mic'd up video, apparently, of the Bengals yesterday that they knew, apparently, that Tannehill's going to throw the ball on that read option or that RPO?
Well,
Chester Rogers?
Yeah, I saw the video. The problem with the video is like, the conversation doesn't really specify. It's just like, I'm going to catch it, you know. But, yeah, I mean, they ran that. They ran that same play, that little RPO. They ran that earlier in the game. They've run it this year probably several times. So, I mean, if you're telegraphing your plays to that extent.
It's not good.
Yeah. Now, I will say on this, because, yes, people are going nuts with that. Teams run the same play in a game a lot. I mean, there are guys in the booth who all they're doing is charting routes, because you're going to see the same route combinations again in the game. Now, you know, then you may see variations off that, but you're going to, like, you know, you have a game plan, you have plays that get rerun, you have plays that get rerun in a season, all a bunch of them, you know. Every team has favorite plays. The problem with that play, though, is, like, they had, you know, they ran it once and Chester Rogers found a way to get 3 yards, and on that play he was going to get totally blown up. Like, it's just, it's not a good play.
Yeah.
or at least the way the Bengals were playing it, it wasn't a good play.
I got a texter that says, Rodgers has choked the last two times. No, thank you. Don't want him.
Okay. Okay. Now, he did not.
He was not good.
He did not
Saturday.
Step up. He did not rise to the occasion in the last game. That's
no.
for sure.
I don't think there's any question. I'd take my chances.
Okay,
it.
So if you were a GM, you know, if you're John Robinson and you were, it was like, okay, you got to basically send your future to get Aaron Rodgers. You doing it?
Oh yeah,
yeah, no question.
Zero hesitation. Yeah, I'm doing it. I mean, unless you're telling me, hey, you're sending Derrick Henry, AJ Brown, Jeffrey Simmons, and Christian Fulton. Then I'd probably have to stop and think about things a little bit because what is your team without that? But if it's Rodgers, I'm doing it. If it's Rodgers and Adams, yeah, I'm doing it. Can you imagine an offense with Rodgers, Adams, Derrick Henry? Be in pretty good shape.
You would think, yeah. Of course, this year it was going to be Henry, Brown, Julio. How do you ever stop that offense?
Well,
but yes.
You talk about how would you ever stop that offense? Put number 12 in there, you'd be in good shape.
Yeah, you would think so.
Oh, man. But, golly, what a punch.
It's fun to talk about.
Well, what a punch to the gut. Like last year we talked about, why aren't the Colts going after Julio? Like, what if the Colts end up with Aaron Rodgers? And you go from having to play against Carson Wentz on the other side of your division to now it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, that's the thing. You know, when Andrew Luck shocked everybody and retired, you figured they'd be in some, you know, there'd be some time where they'd be like fumbling around trying to find a quarterback. But at some point, you got an opening quarterback and you find the right one. Maybe they are the team.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Bob, hang with us. We'll get to you on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in Bob from Antioch, who wants to weigh in. Bob, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, guys. I've always been apprehensive when my teams have been the number one seed. I felt like when the Predators won the President's Trophy, they seemed to play tight in the playoffs, almost playing not to lose instead of playing to win. And so my question is, I've heard a lot of people who cover the Titans talk about how tight some of the Titans played Saturday. Do you feel like any of that can be attributed to the fact that they had the expectations of the number one seed?
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. That's an interesting point because, I mean, when I start thinking about people who played tight or let the pressure get to them, or I don't know. I mean, Tannehill's first guy that comes to mind to me is the pressure or the moment, trying to force plays, staring. I don't know what to call it, but I don't know. That's an interesting point brought up there by Bob.
I don't know that anybody played tight but him, but that's enough.
Yeah,
so, no, I mean, I think there's something to it. I think the Titans, you know, they cut it loose on D. I mean, they got after Joe Burrow, and that defense got put in bad spots, and they kept responding. And I thought the offensive line protected. You know, they were able to have good, not great success running the ball. You know, Derrick Henry, I thought, looked, I guess you could look at him and say there were a few times when maybe he looked a little tentative, but I mean, I think that's probably more 12 weeks and
yep.
Playing on your steel plate for the first time. So, yeah. So I really think, like in other Titans failures as the one seed, there were a lot of things that went wrong and different people fumbling and stuff like that, and kicker, like there's all these different things, which to me speaks to that exactly. I think in this it was pretty much just the QB.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, that's,
but again, like that's all you need.
Yeah, as we found out on Saturday, that is all you need.
And I do agree, Bob, with that idea, and I agree on the Preds. I thought the Preds in the AV series that year, remember, they botched that game 5. They had to go out there for game 6. And then they turned it on in game 6 and finished it. But I thought a lot of that series, they were just a little bit like, we're supposed to win.
They never reached the level in that series that I thought they would.
They didn't play great. Basically, Forsberg, you know, did some Harlem Globetrotters stuff on the Avs, and they got out of there. But it wasn't great.
No.
And then it's just a weird series against the Jets. Either great performances or terrible performances. And that was bizarre.
It was really one of the strangest series that I've ever seen between the Preds and the Jets. It was so weird. There was no flow to it whatsoever. But that's part of what made it really good. Jeff on the text line from Kingston Springs says, if the Colts were to land Rodgers, do you know who would be even quicker to weigh in than Indy Ben? Stillman. He would have his rage topic for the next 8 months. This is coming from Jeff on the text line. Instead of the sweaty workout video from Carson Wentz, what kind of video do we think it would be from Jared if Aaron Rodgers is coming to Indy?
He'd be like planking and screaming. Just some serious angry planking from Stillman on that one. Man, there would be a lot of people.
I kind of want to see it.
I think it'd be more like kickboxing. Yeah. You know, he would just need to.
Yeah, there you go.
Hammering it. Yep.
Yeah, he'd get into an aggressive sport. Now, a lot of people in this town would be very upset if Aaron Rodgers were traded to the Colts.
I would say so.
So, hey, that alone is a reason, you know, if you're John Robinson to. Just get on the phone, you know, like try to head them off at the pass, like or at least at the very least, like tell them why they shouldn't trade to the Colts.
Maybe it's both. Maybe it's the Colts go get Aaron Rodgers and the Titans go get Russell Wilson. Just bring them all in.
There you go.
Yeah,
I like it.
Everybody can have a quarterback.
That would spice up the division.
Now, both of them are like in 3 years, they'll both be looking up at the Jags and Texans.
I don't even know if Davis Mills could see that one coming.
Oh my gosh!
There's always a way. Oh, man. Conference championship weekend in the NFL. We've not talked a lot about that this week because of just the total heartbreak that brings Titans fans. What do you make of these matchups? Starting in the AFC between Kansas City and Cincinnati. They just played a few weeks ago. Now, obviously, it's at Arrowhead this time, so there's a bit of a difference there. And Kansas City, if they play the way they played offensively like they did against Buffalo, it's hard to imagine many people stopping them all that much. What do you think of the matchup between the Chiefs and Joe Burrow and the Bengals coming in there for the AFC title game?
I mean, I'd love to think that it's going to be good. I hope so.
Well, we'll see if the Chiefs have figured out how to cover Ja'Marr Chase, because they had no clue how to do that a few weeks ago, and you know, Gabriel Davis didn't quite cover him very well either.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, there's plays to be made for the Bengals, points to be scored. And when I analyze this game, I again just think back to the Titans game, and it's like their defense is not good, and you scored 16 points on that defense. It's not a very good defense. They didn't pressure Tannehill. You know, it's a huge disappointment. I don't think that defense is going to hold up very well against the Chiefs. And again, they were getting beat pretty soundly. They came back, great game, and you know how much of a difference is it going from home to Arrowhead? You know, what does it matter? Does it matter that they won that game now in this game? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess there's some confidence there you can draw for the Bengals. That's probably more, I guess, their benefit than anything, I would think. But I don't know. I'm not super optimistic about a great game. It'd be great to see. 49ers-Rams, that could be really good.
49ers have owned the Rams.
Yeah. I mean, it sets up perfectly for the Rams to – you know, there's a lot of righting wrongs with the Rams this year, you know, and this is another one. I mean, look, I thought that they had a chance to keep the Niners out of the playoffs and get Philly as their first-time matchup, and I thought that was a much better path for them to this, and they screwed it up, and I thought that might be, you know, just a real problem for them, but then they go win at Tampa Bay, and now here they are in this situation, beating the Cardinals. So, I think the Rams are going to win, but there is some kind of psychological edge here for the Niners, right? I mean, there's just – when's the last time that McVay beat Shanahan?
It's been like five or six in a row, hasn't it?
Something like that. I'll find that stat. And the Niners – look, the Niners are tough. They're you got to be impressed with what they've done here. It's just to come back, get in the playoffs – You saw it last week. I mean, they find a way. That I thought you saw it. You know, Rodgers didn't step up. He didn't play his best, but I thought their defense also was tremendous.
They were.
You know?
Special teams play well.
Yeah, and the special teams took advantage of having a big advantage, which apparently all teams playing the Packers do.
Yes.
They move with their special teams coach?
They have not said anything yet, but if they don't, they may chase LaFleur out of town. Kansas City is favored by 7 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. L.A. favored by 3.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. So a touchdown favorite for the Chiefs. L.A. favored by 3.5 against San Francisco. If I had to guess here on this Thursday, and we'll have Pigskin Pick'em coming up tomorrow, my guess is L.A. finds a way to get it done and silence San Francisco. Like, maybe this is just me watching the Niners last week, but you can't convince me that Jimmy Garoppolo is good enough to play in a Super Bowl again. So until I see it happen, I'm not going to pick and pick a Super or to play in a Super Bowl again.
It is 6 in a row, by the way. It's it's 7 of 10 overall that Shanahan has has beat McVay, and it's 6 in a row, which is pretty wild. The Rams obviously last year both of them were very disappointing, actually. But
yeah.
6 in a row is surprising. Yeah, I know. I agree with you. I mean,
Rams just hold on the ball. Like, you can't be doing what you did last week and fumbling the ball left and right and think you're going to win this game.
I mean, that's the thing. That was so close to being like an absolute blowout of the Bucks, like an emphatic little a statement win. Yeah. And it really comes down to just don't give them the ball. I mean, one defensive play where you somehow don't have a safety deep and Mike Evans beat you. But other than that, it was just give him the ball. So, yeah, that's a big thing. Cam Akers, incredible story, but my gosh, man. You got to hold on to the ball.
Yeah. That is step one to running the football, is taking care of the football.
But if Stafford plays like he played in that game, or he's played in these two playoff games, I like their chances. I mean, imagine – to the point of like all the like you can't win a Super Bowl with without an elite quarterback. Like if Jimmy G is in 2 of the last 3 Super Bowls,
oh, man.
What in the world? that does not help that narrative at all.
It does not. I don't think there's any question about that. When we come back, lots of moves to be made this offseason for the Titans. Why there's one that could be made that I don't hear anyone talking about. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I still would maintain that it's the best chance for him to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, which is win another Super Bowl. I do think it's really tied to Devontae Adams' situation. He's already been on record as saying that he's the best player that he's played with, and obviously they have a close friendship. And so I think Devontae's situation will have an impact in terms of what he decides to do. And that means long-term deal and franchise tag. Look, if Devontae is franchise, it means it's a one-year deal, where he needs to have a good season. I could see Aaron playing in that situation. So, look, I think the other thing that we need to remember, too, is Aaron Rodgers still under contract with the Green Bay Packers. And so while he has a ton of power and leverage in this situation because of the type of player that he is, it's not just solely up to him. And that's never been the case. That's why I've always maintained that he would end up back in Green Bay. Somebody please tell me what the trade value is for a guy that has dominated the league the way he has over the last 4 years. If Matthew Stafford was traded for what he was traded for, who knows what? Like, and who knows if anyone has enough firepower to put a trade together to actually get Aaron Rodgers? Like, people need to always remember that. He's under contract. Yes, high cap number, but it's not just Aaron's decision.
That was Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN discussing the Aaron Rodgers situation, which apparently, according to Rodgers, not going to have to wait that long to figure out what's going on. They were talking on the Pat McAfee show the other day about him making a decision by the free agency period, which I believe begins on March 16th. He said, yeah, it'll probably be before that. So take for that what you will. So it doesn't look like this is going to be a long, drawn-out process, however it goes.
That's good. So, but of course, as has so a decision on whether he's playing.
Yeah,
he could retire. It sounded like he did have that comment. Like, one thing I won't do is retire and then come back. Like,
right.
If it's a retirement, it's a retirement.
Which
I don't think that's going to happen to you.
I don't know. Like, do you win? I mean, he's probably going to win the MVP. You win back-to-back MVPs and retire? Like, you go out in the divisional round and retire when you're still playing this well?
Right, because that's not – like, if it was also with a Super Bowl, yes. Going out on top, great.
Like, I believe if they would have won, I believe he probably would have just hung it up.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Like, you go out in the divisional round. I don't know. I mean, everybody keeps talking about the Davante Adams part of this in terms of, well, if they franchise him, Aaron will do this, and if they sign him to a long-term deal, Aaron will do that. I don't think that's the way he's viewing it. I think he's going to make his decision so that helps Davante Adams one way or the other. Like, I think you're going to see Aaron Rodgers make his decision, and if it's to either be traded or to retire, it's basically going to signal to the Packers, yeah, you probably don't want to franchise Davante Adams because you could just trade him and get a lot of money. Like, obviously, Davante Adams has no interest in being franchise tag. Nobody does. But
so essentially, the idea is that they're a package deal and a trade.
Yeah.
Like, what is the return on that?
It's a heck of a return.
God.
Heck of a return.
Because, like, to Hasselbeck's point there, you know, two first-rounders and a starting quality quarterback.
Yeah.
Go back for Stafford, who's very good. And I think Stafford may be doing some legacy rewriting in the, we'll see. I mean, if he wins this next one, I think, definitely. But still, it's Stafford versus Rodgers. There's a pretty significant gap there.
Yeah.
Man. And then Adams, who's the best receiver in football, period, right now, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Keyshawn Johnson said this morning that the best fit for Aaron Rodgers is the Titans with the roster that they've built. Obviously taking over for Ryan Tannehill. You replace him with Aaron Rodgers. As we know, it's a little bit more complicated than that. But you replace him with Aaron Rodgers, that the Titans are the best fit. So Keyshawn, he's talked a lot about the Titans and the quarterbacks as of late, but Diana Russini was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning, and that's what Keyshawn said is, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I may be taking a look at the Titans, which, again, keeping in mind, he is not a free agent. So this is not, oh, look, this is where I want to go, so make this happen. But he is in the AFC, so it's somewhat realistic.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. So let's see. I mean, we talked yesterday. I mean, Jared laid out the Russell Wilson idea, which as soon as he did, I was like, hey, good job thinking through that. And by the way, like, there's zero chance that any of that happens.
Yeah.
What in the world would be the Titans bundle to send to Green Bay to get Rodgers and Adams?
Well, I don't know. Like, it's the thing that I can't get around on that trade is, if you're the Packers, are you just taking on Tannehill's contract? Because if Rodgers isn't going to be there, like, let's say they did take on Tannehill's contract, like, Tannehill's not going to be their starting quarterback. Like, if it's not going to be Aaron Rodgers, you got to take a look at what you have in Jordan Love, don't you?
Well, I guess if you trade for Tannehill, you have a Tannehill-Jordan Love battle.
That's what I'm saying. But they're not. Tannehill's not going to start in that situation. I mean, I guess.
I don't know.
Unless Jordan Love just is awful, which he might be. But
there's just no sense in the Packers taking on Tannehill in that deal and then taking that money out. Understand that even though they're obviously they're moving Rodgers and Adams out, but I'm like, what does that do for you? You've already drafted your, I guess, quote unquote quarterback of the future. We'll find out if that's what he actually is. But I don't. But I'm trying to understand. Like, so Denver does this, I'm assuming, with the idea of now
doing those two.
Yeah, but again, in a trade. So what's that trade look like?
I mean, Matt Schneidman, who covers the Packers for The Athletic, put a mailbag out there yesterday kind of addressing trade stuff, and we're going to get to some comments that he had about that that will be very terrifying for Titans fans coming up here in just a few minutes. But, I think he started with, three first-round picks is the minimum, and that's just for Rodgers. So, like, what's the deal if it's Rodgers – and Adams, what has been the best quarterback in football last few years and the best wide receiver in football? What's that deal look like?
Like, every first round pick for the rest of time. Yeah. We're just gonna take over your first round picks. Okay.
Yeah. But going back to Hasselbeck's point to begin the segment, like, I get it. It's Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. And if you get those two, like if you put those two on Denver right now, even if they send Jerry Jeudy back or whatever, I mean, you're totally transforming what your team is at that point. Oh, yeah. But are you, like, are you willing to give up like 6 first round picks and 2 players to do it? Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe you are, but that's a lot. It's a whole lot.
Yeah. Look, I mean, if I think a lot of teams in this league, if they're able to pay everybody, and they still have a decent, you know, decent defense, like a decent team that you can still field, and you add that as your quarterback and that is your number one receiver, I mean, I think that team would probably feel like they could win it all right now. So, I mean, look, if you're a fan of a team, you never want your team to be like, okay, we could win it all, but, you know, down the road we're going to be bad because we're trading the first-round picks. I mean, at some point you do have to put a limit on it, I guess, but isn't that what it's about, winning a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. Liam texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How many years into the future can you trade picks in the NFL? Yeah. I have no idea. Can you trade first-round picks through 2035? Like, how do you do this?
They're going to be Bitcoin by then, so, like, you don't even, like, it's, you know, it's not even, I have no idea, man. That's a good question. What's the furthest down the road you've ever seen a first-round pick traded? I can, only 2-3 years that I can ever think of.
Yeah. Kathy on Twitter says, I'll stop watching if Aaron Rodgers comes to the Titans.
Uh-oh.
Okay. No, you won't.
Will you really?
No, you won't. Okay. I don't know.
There's a
lot of buzz around that guy right now.
There's a lot of people who are going to stop watching the NFL a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Seem to be watching it again.
They do. I don't know. I don't know why people feel the need to bring politics and everything, but that's the world we live in.
Yes, it is.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Michael in Madison texting in says, the Titans should use the Mike Ditka for Rodgers and Adams plus Tannehill and Julio. I don't know what we're talking about with Mike Ditka.
Mike Ditka. Ricky Williams? What are we talking about?
Maybe so. I don't know.
Yeah, explain. I don't know. I'm trying to remember.
I mean, anytime we can involve Mike Ditka in a conversation, I'm cool with it.
Well, didn't Ditka, like, move heaven and earth to get Ricky Williams? Isn't
I think
that
so,
right?
Yeah.
So I assume that's the reference.
I guess that's it.
Yeah. God, Dick.
I mean, like, if you're John Robinson, let's say Aaron Rodgers is legitimately on the table, and for some reason the Packers will take on Tannehill's contract. What are you willing to do to get Aaron Rodgers here? Like, how far are you willing to go?
Even if you suspend, you know, disbelief there, which I mean, you got to really suspend it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can only see the Packers laughing at that. But so let's see. You're sending back A.J. Brown. At least 3 first-round picks?
Yeah.
Jeffrey Simmons. It's
unbelievable, yeah.
I mean, if you're the Packers, it's like, okay, let me do some shopping on your roster.
Yeah.
Anybody who's, like, not on their second deal yet. So, yeah, Simmons for sure. Brown for sure.
Yeah.
Who else? You know, maybe, yeah, throw in a little Christian Fulton. Yeah. You know, but again, if you're the Packers, you have drafted this quarterback with the idea of being, okay, at least at some point now, we're not going to be paying $40 million for a quarterback, so we have a quarterback on a rookie deal that we're going to go with.
Yep.
So, oh, yeah, yeah, sure, we'll take on a $38 million cap. Like, you know what I mean? It just doesn't add up.
Well, I guess the only way I could see that.
It's fun to talk about.
The only way I could see them doing something like that would be if they have, I mean, they're 2 years deep now into Jordan Love. You should have a pretty good idea of what he is based on the way he has played when he's been in games, but practice as well. Like, I get it. The games are different, and it's different when you're a starter. So maybe you don't fully know, but, like, I would assume LaFleur and all those guys have a decent idea of where Jordan Love is. And if they just think, yeah, that was a bad pick, this is a bad idea, then maybe you take on Tannehill's contract at that point and start looking for the future again. But
say, because you just saw how he played in the playoffs, so you're like, hey, come on in, Ryan.
Well, I'm not saying it's because – I mean, look, if Aaron Rodgers is gone from the Packers, you're in rebuild mode at that point. I mean, They're about to be there anyway with their salary cap situation, but if he's gone, like, you're tearing that thing down if you're the Packers.
So maybe you just want draft capital then.
Yeah.
Just a whole bunch of it.
A whole bunch of it. And maybe you take on Tannehill's contract that way. And then by the time he's done playing it out, you get your first round picks in there. I don't know. Through 2034.
Again, it's fun to talk about. Sure.
Hey, Keyshawn Johnson brought this one up, not me. Just saying.
Did so he said it's the best fit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
I guess because there's a really good team that the Titans have, and Tannehill's holding them back. So I guess from Rodgers' standpoint, like, if he wants to go win a Super Bowl, this would be the best way to go do it.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of good pieces in place.
There are. How many of those pieces are not in place in a trade to get Aaron Rodgers? Like, how many of those pieces do you have to give up?
But then that comes into, is that if the Packers are doing this and thinking totally blow it up, that's just it. It's just not going to happen. He's gone. Adam's gone. It's not happening. Then maybe they don't look at too many veterans.
Maybe not. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I thought about the Titans for about half a second in this conversation when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, because I think it's going to be pretty hard to pull that off. I have thought about another team in the AFC South and some Packers writers starting to make some connections to that one as well, which if you're a Titans fan, that should not be good news to you. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.